ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Sen. Text number 25. Vipadah santu tahashashvat. Vipadah santu tahashashvat.
Vipadah santu tahashashvat.
Tatra tatra jagatguru
tatra tatra
jagatguru
tatra tatra jagatguru
bhavato darshanam yatsya
bhavato darshanam yatsya
apunarbhava darshanam apunarbhava darshanam Vipadah santu tahashashvat tatra tatra jagatguru bhavato darshanam yatsya apunarbhava darshanam Vipadah santu
tahashashvat
tatra tatra jagatguru पुनर्भव दर्शनम विपद कैलामिटी संतु लेट दे बी ता ऑल शश्वत अगेन एंड अगेन तत्र देर तत्र एंड देर Jagat Guru, O Lord of the Universe, Bhavataha, your Darshanam, meeting, Yat, that which, Syat, is, Apunaha, not again, Bhava Darshanam, seeing repetition of birth and death. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Translation, please repeat. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent and the inquisitive, who have performed some pious activities, worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nascence, can achieve liberation as easily as one can leap over the holes made by the hooves of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there is danger in every step. This material world is certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the same person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, but he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So here we have this chapter 8, where we saw how Krishna protected his devotee Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning verses, and now we have another great devotee, Queen Kunti. She is offering her prayers, and they are very famous among devotees, and they try to learn and repeat these prayers to have that mood of Kunti Devi. So Kunti Devi is basically related to Krishna in Vatsalya Rasa. So that's parenthood. So she has affection for Krishna. As we know, there are 5 main rasas in Golok Vrindavan: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya or Shringar Rasa. So Queen Kunti has this love for Krishna as an elder. She is Krishna's aunt. She's his father's sister, Vasudev's sister. So that way she loves him. She knows that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but her love in Vatsalya Rasa is very overwhelming. So in Nectar of Devotion, it's described. There is a chapter in which Vatsalya Rasa is discussed. So in that, it describes what it is like to have that rasa. So in any of these rasas, there are different impetuses which drive you towards Krishna or increase your love towards Krishna. So in Vatsalya Rasa also, there are different impetuses, like the sweet smile of Krishna, like that. So these elder gopas or gopis or elders of Krishna, they love him. This is Vatsalya praying. So there is also, of course, there's in spiritual world, it's all absolute and can't compare, or this is a better devotee, but still there is some gradation. So there is a list given in Nectar of Devotion according to importance, that whose Vatsalya prem is most towards Krishna, and then goes from there. All devotees are exalted because they are in spiritual world with Krishna. They are loving Krishna, is one of these eternal rasas. They are established in their constitutional position. So it's nothing higher or lower, but still there is gradation given. So topmost Vatsalya rasa is exhibited by Mother Yashoda. So there is no comparison to her love for Krishna in parenthood. Then second is Nanda Maharaj. And then there is Rohini, mother of Lord Balram. And I think then there is other elder gopis of Vrindavan. Then Mother Devaki, who gave birth to Krishna. And then there, like Vasudev, the father of Krishna, had 16 wives. One was Devaki and there were 15 others. So they come next in the list. And then come Kunti Maharani. So one spot above, is above Vasudev, his father who gave birth to Krishna. So Kunti Maharani's love is little more than that. Of course we can't compare, but still this list is according to importance. So Kunti Maharani has her love for Krishna is on very high platform. So that's why she can offer such beautiful prayers with full affection and meaning. And Krishna is bound by that. So here we see, as Prabhupada describes, Kunti Maharani was also just a few verses before she was mentioning that, oh, I'm just a woman, you know, how can I understand you? So here also Prabhupada mentions that actually there is no consideration of how you are born or what's your material situation. Krishna actually is driven towards some living entity just because of pure love and affection. So it doesn't matter how you are born or how, what's your physical or material situation. But if you have love for Krishna, you want to love Krishna, Krishna will be drawn towards you. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam satay bhajamyaham. So here this is the proof. So Kunti Maharani has full vatsalya prem towards Krishna, and Krishna is drawn towards her. She says, oh, please don't go. Please stay. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj also says, please stay for some more time. And he stays. You can say, how can you order God? He's God. He knows better. He wants to go back to Dwarka. Let him go. You can't stop him. But no, here we see Kunti Maharani approaches him. Not to be in a position of a controller. That, oh, see, I've controlled God. No, but she has love. Love for Krishna. So that's why there is no, regardless of what status we are in, we can actually love Krishna. Like that. And here, as Prabhupada writes, that those who are pious, those who have a pious background, if they have a, they face a calamity, they turn towards Krishna. And those who are impious, doesn't matter who they are, what status they have, they will not approach Krishna. Doesn't matter what material status they may have, you know, nice exalted family, one may have born in a very aristocratic family or a pious family. But if they don't have love for Krishna, Krishna won't be drawn towards them. So initially you may have any situation, if we are not sincere and we don't want to go towards Krishna, so then Krishna has no reason to, you know, to approach such a person, because Krishna is independent and he also acts like a desire tree. So if you desire to establish a relation with Krishna, then he will be inclined. And if you don't want to approach Krishna, if we want to engage in sinful activities in this world to enjoy, basically there is no enjoyment, but people think they are enjoying. So then Krishna has no reason to approach such people. That's why they can't see God. They say, oh, where is God? Can't see him. Because they don't want to see. So that's why he's aloof and he's not present. But for devotees, they are taking constant darshan of Krishna. Like that. So we have this example of how doesn't matter what situation you are in, you can fall down from that position. This is the case of Ajamil. So Ajamil was born in a very high class Brahmana family, and he was performing all the rituals and he was on a very high position according to Vedic standards. But you know, once he went to the forest and he saw a low class woman and a man engaging in sense gratification, and he couldn't forget that incident. So that one incident, yes, he saw that, and in that, in those times when he was there, these were not very common. So they were, the Vedic standard was of regulating the senses and, you know, having, following varnashram dharma in a proper way. So these things were not common, at least in open. Of course they were in forest and he went and he saw. So then he degraded himself from his exalted position. So what is our chance that, you know, in this day and age is Kali Yuga, these type of cases, you know, these type of scenes are like, they are the standard. They have become the standard. If you go in the city or anywhere, such type of behavior is very common. So I remember when my elder sister, she started going to uni. So in university you have young boys and girls, and so there was whole discussion. I was not much involved anyway with our mother, that what type of dresses to wear, and because, you know, girls would go there, they would have different dresses. But anyway, they had to make a balance between, you know, should be very decent, at the same time shouldn't be very traditional, like an ancient dress. Because if when these girls go to college or uni, there they have other friends, other girls, and if some girl is dressed in a traditional way, like an ancient way, very simple dress, so they would bully her and tease her. They would call her like, they say in a Hindi word, they call, oh, this is like a Benji. Benji means, it's like, Ben means sister, you know. Then they would tease, it's like a derogatory. It's actually, according to Vedic standards, it's a very respectable word, but in this day and age, they would, like, these young girls would have fear to be called a Benji. Like that. And further, if they want to really insult someone to the core of their heart, they would call that girl Ammaji. Ammaji is something pretty much synonymous to Mataji. And it's like a great insult. They cannot bear it, these young girls. So, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, for Kshatriyas, you know, this infamy is like worse than death. Krishna says that he was giving reasons to Arjuna that, oh, you must fight, otherwise they will say, oh, what type of Kshatriya you are? You are running away from battlefield. Akirtim chapi bhutani kathishanti tevyam. So it's worse than death. So same way for these young girls in universities, it's like someone calls them Mataji or Ammaji, it's like pretty much more than death. And then, so why do they dress in this attractive fashion? To attract the boys. So then boys would come and they would take darshan. Full darshan for full satisfaction. So this has become the standard in this day and age. But in the time when Ajamil was there, these scenes were not very common. So he saw that and he couldn't forget about that, and then he got degraded further and further. But still he chanted name of Narayan in Namabha's stage and he got the benefit. He was innocently chanted, although it was name of his son. So this was Vedic tradition. They would name their children with names of God or names related to God. Still in India, many places they would name. Yesterday I met two people, they were from Bengal. I said, "What are your names?" One's name was Balram, other's name was Nimai. They were not devotees. Like, and amazing. So this is the thing, they still name like that. So the main point here is, doesn't matter what status we are in, we can achieve full love for Krishna. And then we can actually get darshan of Krishna. So a devotee actually, it doesn't matter. Now here Kunti Maharani is actually praying, okay, give me calamity. But for a devotee, it actually doesn't matter that if there is a calamity or there is a good time or I'm placed here or placed there. He just does bhakti. So there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in 6th canto, says Narayana parasarve na kutashyana vibhyati swarga pavarga narkeshu api tulyartha dashina. So what is a devotee? A devotee actually sees these three situations as same, on the same level. So we can also imagine, can we see these three situations in same level? What does he see on three situations on same level? Swarga. If you place a devotee in Swarga or heavenly planets, or you have heavenly pleasures, or if you place him Apavarga, you liberate him, go back to Godhead in spiritual world, or Narka in hell. So devotee says no problem, I can go anywhere. Provided only fear of devotee is I shouldn't forget Krishna. So that's the only fear. As long as a devotee has remembrance of Krishna, doesn't matter where he is, because that material situation won't have any effect on the devotee. So in the heavenly planets, you know, there's so much sense enjoyment, so you can get distracted. But for a pure devotee, doesn't matter. In the hell, there is so much suffering, you can get easily get distracted from bhakti. But if you are a pure devotee, doesn't matter. So that's why when Prabhupada was there, he went to USA. It was, according to Vedic standard, it was a hell actually. Mode of passion and ignorance were ruling that country at that time. This time they are in Kali Yuga, the whole world is being degraded to lower modes. So it's going close to hellish conditions. But for devotee, it doesn't matter as long as he is preaching the names of God, singing glories of God, you know, remembering Krishna. So it doesn't matter, these three situations. So if Krishna orders, okay, you come back to Godhead and do service here. Said, okay, no. You know, I can go to Godhead. Depends on Krishna's desire, where he wants us. He wants us here or there, or in this service, that service. It's totally up to him. And devotee derives same pleasure wherever he or she is. So this is actually full surrender. So full surrender, when a devotee has full surrender for Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. The devotee enjoys full bliss. Like that. So here Prabhupada also says, one who has taken shelter of lotus feet of Lord, which are accepted as most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nascence, can achieve liberation. So I think Gurujan Prabhu some days back, he was saying, oh, what are the comparisons for lotus feet of Krishna? So it's compared to many things, it's so beautiful compared, and there are marks of lotus on the sole of foot of Krishna. So it's compared to a lotus flower. It's also compared in Bhagavatam as an umbrella. There's a rain, a storm of material miseries. So if you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, you can be protected. And here we see it's also compared to a boat. So there's this verse in 10th canto. says Samashvitaye Padapallava Pravam, Mahat Padam Punya Yasho Murari, Bhavam Budir Vatsa Padam Param Padam, Padam Padam Yad Vigdam Natesham. So one who has taken shelter of this boat of lotus feet of Lord, for him the distress of this whole material existence becomes, you know, the whole ocean of distress becomes just like water in the hoof print of a calf, which is very small. You can easily cross over it because we have taken shelter of lotus feet of Lord. So imagine we have ocean nearby, and if we don't know swimming, or even if we know swimming, how long can we swim for if we have been there just dropped in the middle of the ocean, and we are, you know, trying to breathe. The waves are trying to smash us and pull us down, and we're trying to get some air. So pretty much drowning, on the verge of death. But it's this material existence is like that. So many distresses are there. They're pulling us down, and then we have a small breath, and we think, oh, we are happy, and we want to stay in that situation. But a sane person would not like to stay in such situation. Even the greatest swimmer would not just like to stay there in the ocean. How long can he or she be there? Not very long. So an intelligent person cannot. But a person who is fully covered with ignorance, this curtain of Maya, he would think, okay, I'm trying. At least I'm getting few breaths, although I'm drowning every moment. So then, what happens? There's this ship here, spirit of Tasmania, it goes towards Tasmania, and he sees, oh, the ship is going. So what would an intelligent person do? He would try to take help and try to call out and take help and go on the ship. But a foolish person, he would say, no, I'll try on my own, you know, to save myself. This ship may or may not be helpful like that. So this is the case actually when we are hesitating to take full shelter of Krishna. It's like we are in the ocean and this ship is passing by, and we are saying, oh, should I go or not, you know. So that's why when we are saying, oh, should I surrender fully, should I follow all the principles and Krishna's instructions nicely or not, or can I do my own thing a little bit? So this is like that we are in the ocean and we are thinking, oh, whether to go on the boat or not fully. So, but in scriptures it said you must take full shelter, and then Krishna will protect you. We have full faith on Krishna. So faith is, we have to increase our faith. Of course, everyone, we all have faith, so that's why we are here, we are performing devotional activities. So, but the faith has to be increased more and more. So we all are trying like that. So we have to increase the faith. So previously I used to, before we getting in touch with Krishna consciousness, I used to read many motivational quotes and try to, you know, motivate myself to do something. So I used to read quotes about faith. Oh, you must have faith in yourself. And so one quote was, you know, you're on the building. So if you have faith, okay, you jump and the net will be there. You know, there was this quote. You jump and the net will be there. If you have faith, then only you would jump. You can't see the net as yet, but you jump. The same way in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is saying that. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. You just jump from this material platform. You just jump and I will protect you. Maa shucha, do not worry. The net will be there. But we say, oh, should I, will it be there? So we just don't make that final effort. Okay, Krishna, like Draupadi, she was trying to use her own strength to, you know, protect from being disrobed by Dushasana, because she was very strong in Kshatriya woman. Kshatriya women were very strong, like we see. They were also trained, like the princes, they were also trained in some arts. So we see example in how 10th canto Rukmini, when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, Krishna told her to, okay, you drive the chariot. So to drive a chariot you need some strength, you know. I can't do that. So even if there are two horses, you need strength. In those days the horses were like, you know, few horses, you know, like that. So same way, Draupadi had some strength and she was trying to pull her sari, but then she just surrendered fully. She just jumped from the that, okay, I don't have strength, oh Govinda, please save me. So that type of faith we have to develop in Krishna. And how to develop that faith is by hearing about Krishna. Because if we know the qualities of a person, then we have full faith. If we, for example, if we are trying to invest in something, some shares or some house or whatever, so we have faith that, okay, if I put my money there, I will get a good return and it will be safe. So we try to know, okay, what are the positives and negatives, that, you know, what are the dangers, or is it safe? So we try to know the different qualities of that investment. So same way, when we are trying to surrender to Krishna, so to develop faith, we must know about Krishna and his qualities. Oh, how he saved these devotees. Oh, he saved this devotee like that, this devotee. So maybe he will save me also. So like that. So constant hearing about Krishna actually develops faith more and more. So if we know a person fully, that he or she is fully trustworthy, then we can just give our life for such a person. It's like fully trustworthy, like that. So in third canto there is this famous verse which attracted even Shukdev Goswami. Aho bakiyam stan kal kutam jigham sapayad apyasad vileve gatim datruchitam tatonyam kamva dayalam sharanam vajema. That Krishna, who even gave this position, exalted position, to Putna, who was a demoness and which came to kill Krishna. If he gave such exalted position to his, of course there is no friend or enemy for Krishna, but he came as to kill Krishna. So if he gave such exalted position to her, so who else is there? Kamva dayalam sharanam vajema. Who is there who is more merciful than him? So we must have trust on Krishna. So these are the qualities of Krishna. So when Shukdev Goswami heard this verse and some other verses, he was like, oh. Although he was a Brahmavadi, he was fully liberated platform, but still he was attracted by qualities of Krishna. And then he became a devotee. Like that. So this is the position. Although for a devotee these calamities come, so we some can, you know, repeat this every day, please give me calamity. But even if we cannot, basically calamities will be there. That's the nature. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. That's the nature of this world. This is where it says, Prabhupada says, it's certified by Krishna to be dukhalayam, and place of miseries. There will be calamities. So how to act in those calamities is to be steady, to be equal. If some positive gain comes or some loss comes, so this is duality. So a devotee has to go above duality. In both situations, if some material happiness comes, so we shouldn't get elated too much. Oh, that's it, got the perfection of life. Or if some material misery comes, shouldn't be too much distress. So it should be equipoised. Yadricha lab santushto dvandvatito vimatsara sama siddhava siddhaucha kritvapi na nibadyate. So in Bhagavad Gita it says in 4th chapter that sama siddhava siddhaucha, that if there is a perfection, you know, there is a lab or a gain, devotee is equal towards a gain or a loss. Kritvapi na nibadyate. So he is acting in that way. If one acts in that way, if we do our daily services and activities in a way that, okay, whatever materially, fame would come or money would come, you know, I would do this service and so many devotees appreciated or so many devotees chastised. Of course, if someone chastises, we must try to improve and if someone, so there's learning on both sides. If someone praises, we have to watch our pride, that doesn't go high, and then we would fall down from our humble service status. So in both things, a devotee should be equipoised and just work for the pleasure of Krishna. So if we work like that, kritvapi na nibandhita, if we act like that, then we won't be bound. We won't be bound like that. So further, here in this verse, discussion about calamities, it says basically these calamities or these material distresses that come are actually false. They are not there actually, because we are spiritual beings and the distresses are coming for the body. So actually there are no calamities. So in previous chapter that we read, chapter number 7, there is a verse, anarthopashamam sakshat bhakti yogya dokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre sattvata samhita. So the translation is, the material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. So these material miseries are actually superfluous. They doesn't matter to the spirit soul. So how to get rid of them? Just by this linking process. If we link by devotional service, any of these 9 processes of devotional services, if we link ourselves, the soul is reconnected, or the dormant loving propensity is awakened, so then there is no misery. We won't relate ourselves as material bodies, and then it doesn't matter. So just by hearing about this, that's why it says, learned Vyasadeva, that's why he has compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we can hear, which is hearing, Shravanam is a devotional activity. If we can hear about Krishna, then we would understand, oh, I have nothing to do with the body. Of course, we meant keep our body, try to keep our body as healthy as possible. We make best use of this bad bargain to serve Krishna. But in a bigger sense, then we are not attached to it. We may possess it, but if the time comes that it's being taken away, then we won't be attached. We'll easily give up. There won't be pain. So that's why for devotees there is no pain at death, because they see Krishna. They take darshan of Krishna. And here it says, that's what Kunti Maharani is praying, that, oh Krishna, please don't go, because as long as you are there and we are taking your darshan, that means we are we won't be seeing repeated birth and death. So that's the thing. If we take constant darshan of Krishna, there is no danger of repeated birth and death. An example given in purport by Srila Prabhupada is of a dream. Like in a dream, you see, oh, tiger is swallowing me. So it's just a dream. There is no reality. So you may wake up frightened, then you realize, oh, you know, there is no tiger. But people on material platform, they think, oh, this is real misery. So they are working on material platform. So then there is another smart materialist who comes, okay, oh, I have compassion, now I'll try to save this person who is suffering. This is funny example which I heard is, so now this person on the material platform, he is suffering. He's sleeping and he sees tiger. Tiger is trying to swallow him. And he's shouting, help, tiger! So his friend comes, oh, what happened? And he sees him, oh, he's sleeping. He says, what happened? He says, tiger, tiger! And he says, okay, wait, I'll help you. So he goes, he gets his gun and just lies down next to him and he sleeps and tries to enter in the dream and try to shoot the tiger. So this is the welfare work on material platform. So you're trying to help. Oh, okay. No money, or you're hurt. Hospitals, schools, charity. Like that. So this is like that. But an intelligent person just wakes him up. Just slaps him. Get up. Jeev jago. So just see this reality. There is no tiger. So then there is no calamity actually. For a devotee, calamity is not taking Krishna's darshan. So there was here it says actually that in spiritual world there is no calamity. It means there is no material calamity, but there are spiritual anxieties or calamities. So one time in past time, when Krishna, as we know, every day he goes to the forest with the cows and all the cowherd boys. So one time I think Krishna's cows went in deep forest and he went to search for them, and then he returned and there was this, I think Gopa, his name was Sri Dama, I think he's little elder. So he has this, he has a say there in that group, and he said, Krishna, you went away for little, he just went for some time, not a long time. So that was like calamity for them. That, oh, Krishna just went away for these few minutes. We couldn't take darshan. And he chastised Krishna, how can you do that with us? Now, as a punishment, you must give a hug to all the cow, these innumerable cowherds. So this is calamity. So when Krishna goes to forest, so all the residents who stay back, Mother Yashoda, the gopis, they it's like calamity. They consider a moment to be like 12 years or more. So that's love in separation. So that's spiritual calamity which would come. Otherwise we shouldn't reject the spiritual calamity or anxiety, because that's the situation with other type of spiritualists, the Mayavadis. They understand that, oh, there's this world is Dukhalyam or Shashvatam, this temporary and full of miseries. But they also don't want spiritual anxiety. They just want relief from these calamities, relief from birth and death, on Brahman, just merge with Brahman, Brahmananda. But Brahmananda is nothing compared to the ocean of bliss of bhakti, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, that ocean of bhakti. Like that, there is no comparison. So basically here Kunti Maharani is saying, we want your darshan again and again. So, how to be qualified to take Krishna's darshan? So there is this verse, I was reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 2, text 25. There it says, Bhakti yoge bhakt paaye yahara darshana surya yena sa vigraha dekhe devagana. So here example is given that actually when we see the sun, we just see the rays, you know. We can't see the personal form of the sun god, because we are limited. We are not qualified. But there are other qualified beings actually in heavenly planets. These demigods in heavenly planets, they can see sun god, because they are qualified, they are on higher platform. So here it says, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's giving this example. So same way as the demigods are able to see the sun god because they are qualified. So same way, how can we become qualified to take Krishna's darshan is by bhakti yoga. So if we perform these activities of hearing and chanting and other processes, then we become qualified to see Krishna, because we develop love for Krishna. As Lord Brahma says, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam sham sundaram achintya guna swarupam govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhagavan. So if we have this love, this salve of love, this ointment of love, then we can see, we can take darshan of Krishna. Otherwise, without that love, when we see Krishna, we just see this external form of metal or wood or, you know, stone. But if we have this love for Krishna, we can see the actual form of Krishna. So this, by hearing, yasyam vai shruyamanam bhaktir utpadyate yatha, by hearing this bhakti develops, this love develops with attentive hearing and chanting. So that's the way of taking darshan of Krishna. So I'd like to stop here and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. I think she's asking that when a person goes to hell, hellish planet, so he suffers there, then does he suffer the full account of karma, or because when he comes back to earth, then again he suffers. So it seems like there is some more karma left. So actually, what we can say is is very complex matter. In Bhagavad Gita it says 4.17, it says karmano yapi bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmana akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gati. So gahana karmano gati means this action and reaction is very complex, so we actually cannot understand what's going on. But in a general way we can understand that if a criminal commits a crime, so he is punished. He's given a sentence according to his crime, and he goes to jail and he finishes that sentence and comes back. So that's the general understanding. And same way, when someone commits sin, he or she goes to hell, and there they get this punishment and they transfer back to earth. Now they have a free will, and then again they incur more karma, and they may. Yeah, because that's right. In previous lives, you may have done some sin which you get on earth. So yeah, I'm not sure. I can say it's very complex to understand that. Yeah. I don't know what they read. But main thing to understand is, when we understand that we are in material world, we should just try to go back. Like for example, the example that we gave was, the person is there in the ocean, middle of ocean, and the ship comes by. So he just doesn't analyze this, how did I reach here? And tries, he just gets on the boat, tries to get on the boat as much as possible. So, yeah, I don't know much about that topic. Anyone else want to comment on that? How do we grieve?
Yeah. If he wants enough karma, then he should have either in any species or
some is left over.
Some left over.
Okay.
So by that he can acquire karma.
Okay. So that's the answer. He says there's not everything is burnt off. It's not completely wiped off in the hell. There is some left so that you can come back in human form and suffer more. Alright? Any other question or comment? Okay, thank you very much. Ranthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.